Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Samach Ches. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top. Before we begin our shiur, we glance at the side where we have our Nosei and Mivneh heading. You'll notice that we've called this a Hemshech. That means this is a continuation of the Gemara that we were learning at the end of our previous year. We have a geometric form, this trapezoid, or sometimes we call it the volcano shape, and this is called a Ma'akav in this particular case, where the shape appears in alternating directions. So with the narrow part facing upwards, She'elois, Lama b'movoi shel rabo ve'abaye d'li'el, why is it in the alleyway that was featured in the previous Gemara, which had a story where some water had spilled out that was going to be used for a bris milah, for a circumcision, and the neighboring alleyway had hot water in it, and in that alleyway you had in the neighboring chotzer that was part of the same alleyway, there was hot water belonging to Rabo, and yet they were seemingly unable to move the water in view of the absence of an Eruv and a Shituf Muvos. There was another solution suggested in that particular sugya, but right now we want to focus on the fact that they had not made an Eruv Chatzeros, nor was there a Shituf Muvos. And our question here is, why was it that in that alleyway where great men like Rabo and Abaye had lived, did they not bother to make an Eruv Chatzeros or a Shituf Muvos? Either one of those mechanisms would have enabled the water to be moved from Rabo over to where the baby was located. So our question is, why was it such that there was no Eruv nor Shituf? Sheila Zu Rabo Bar Rav Noson Shoel Es Abaye. This question is directed by Rabo Bar Rav Noson, not to be confused with Rabo of the story before. That's a different Rabo. It's Rabo Bar Nachmeni. So that's the question posed to Abaye, and with the inverted volcano, you'll see these are Chuvosov Shel Abaye, his responses. So we'll start this back and forth type discussion. Fifth line from the top. Omar Rabo Bar Rav Chonon Le Abaye. Mevua di isbe tre gavri ravavi kirabonon. A movui. Mevua is a movui, the alleyway, in which you have two great men living, like yourself and Rabo. Lo lehevi be lo eruv lo shitov. Could it be that there's no Eruv Chatzeres nor Shituf Muvos, two different mechanisms that end up joining multiple dwellings into a singular unit? Why didn't you take care of that? Amale, my Navid. So Abaye says, well, what could I do? Mar Lav Orche. It's not the way of a great man like Rabo to go around from house to house to make a collection of the food that's required from each dwelling to join up to create the communal pot of food which unifies all of the dwellings. So it's not his urche, it's not his way, it's not his derech, it's not befitting him to make the collection. Now, what about myself? Says Abaye, ano taridno begirsoi. I am too preoccupied with my Torah learning to take time off for making a food collection. This, by the way, shows you how much of their time they invested in Torah learning. You can just imagine how much time would it really take to collect food from a few neighbors. Not that much time, and yet Abai was unable to extricate himself from his learning because of his total dedication in order to accomplish the food collection. Inhu lo mashkichi, the other members of the Mavui, they don't care, they don't pay attention. So I can't rely on any one of them to do it either. Ve'i akni luhu pito besala. There's another possible solution, and that would be that I would, akni is to give ownership of my bread to all of them. In other words, I would create this communal pot of food, so to speak, this communal bread collection by dedicating bread that I have in my possession to all of them. And that would be the communal bread. That's not going to work either, says Abaye. If any of them, of the other neighbors, were to come and ask from me that bread, I wouldn't be able to give each one bread, because I myself am very impoverished. And once you have a mavui that or a food collection and a mavui or eruv chatzeros that not everyone can benefit from, so it loses its identity as a real communal pot of food. So as the Gemara says that, or as Abaye says, if they would ask it of me and I wouldn't be able to give it to them, botil shituf, that would really undo the shituf, the partnership, the partnering in the alleyway. Desanya, as the source says, echad midnei mavui shebikesh yayin v'shemen v'lo naslu, one of the inhabitants of the alleyway that would request the wine or the oil that formed the communal shituf, and he would not be given something of it, batel hashituf, that would be the undoing, the voiding of the shituf, of the partnering. So, as we just saw, Abaye explained to Rabbo bar Rav Chanan why nothing was done, why no shituf nor eruv chatzeros was made. You can't expect the rabbi to make the collection. I won't make a collection. They won't make a collection. And if you want me to create a communal pot of food by my dedicating it to everyone in the alleyway, I wouldn't be able, if they would ask of me their portion or request of me from it, I wouldn't be able to give it to them. Question. I have another solution, says Rabbo ba Rav Chanan. V'niknu luhu mor revi'osa dechala bechavita. Even though you said that you wouldn't be able to give to them your bread, but vinegar, chala is vinegar. Vinegar that you have in your storage, you know, a barrel of vinegar, that's something that could also serve as a could in theory serve as a communal pot of food, and you could dedicate a revius, that's a liquid measure of vinegar, in your barrel to the members of the alleyway. Rashi says bechavito ba'achas mechaviosecha. A revius of vinegar in one of your barrels, the midi de les be kepedahu. It's not something that a person would want to withhold from someone else. If someone came even to the likes of Abaye and asked, can I have a revius of vinegar, you would give it to him. The ikur shituf biayin, the main form of shituf is using wine. Kinomar bahai pirka, the yoniach echovis bechotzer v'yismucha revius sheba lishum shituf l'tzorach kol hashana kula. So all you would have to do is set aside a revius in the vinegar as the shituf for the rest of the neighbors. As Rashi says, it's something that you wouldn't be makbid on and giving to them. So Abaye answers, and this is Abaye's final answer. Tanya, Ein Mishtatfin Ba'otzar. This suggestion of some type of, we'll call, arbitrary revius in the barrel should be dedicated to the shituf, that won't work. And the reason for that is because Abaye explains that we don't have breira, ein breira, which would mean some type of, we'll call that, retroactive definition. In other words, that there's some, I don't know at this point which revius is the shituf. It represents the food that joins the different members. So you might say, well, after you finish drawing off for your own purposes the vinegar that you need, that which remains behind, we will say retroactively, that was the one, that revius, that quantity that's left over at the end, was the quantity that was designated as the shituf. That description is a what we call retroactive definition. And we don't accept that. That doesn't work, that idea of relying on breira. And as a result of not being able to rely on that, in contrast, we would say that as you're drawing from the barrel, had you dedicated a revius of the vinegar, it might be that the revius that was dedicated to the sheet, if you already used for your own purposes in the course of time. So, ein breira, and that's Abaye's final answer. You'll notice in the markings, that's the end of the give and take that we had marked with the volcanoes. Because that's, we emphasize, this is the end of Abaye's responses. The Gemara continues with more questioning. However, for our purposes, Abaye gave his answer to Rabbo bar Rav Honan. The Gemara now asks, we'll call this an independent question, in light of the source that was just cited, but this has nothing to do with Abaye's point of view. The explanation we're giving right now is based on what you would see in Tosfos Dibur HaMaschil Tanya. So let's continue in the Gemara. V'ha Tanya Mishtatfin, but is there not a source that says that you can be Mishtatef Ba'otzar? Omar Rav Oshaya. As far as the seeming contradiction is concerned between these two sources that we call Aleph and Beis, Rav Oshaya answers there's no contradiction. Lo kashya ha Beis Shammai, ha Beis Hillel. The source that says Mishtatfin is based on the opinion of Beis Hillel that says you can rely on Breira, and the source Aleph that says Ein Mishtatfin is in accordance with Beis Shammai that says we do not rely on Breira. Disnan, we have a Tanaic source that's accompanied by a diagram in the Pirush Chai, diagram 21. You can see on page 141, there is a house or a room that has numerous doorways. And in this particular house, there is a corpse, and the corpse is not featured in the diagram, but that is what's understood. And you have vessels in the doorways. There is a halacha called oyel hames. Oyel hames is that which is under a common roof with a corpse. So items that are inside this room are under the same roof as the corpse, and they will become defiled tumas mes, defilement to the dead. These items are not under the same roof. They're rather in the doorways. They have a separate roof. That which is the lintel of the doorway is their roof. So technically speaking, they are not directly tome because of the corpse. However, there is a what Rashi calls a hilchasa b'lo taima, an oral tradition, we'll say, that if in the event that all the doors of this room were closed and the vessels were sitting as they are in the diagram, all the vessels would become tome. And again, we emphasize that Rashi says that that's a function of hilchasa b'lo taima. Rashi says that hilchas tuma hachi gemiri. This is the tradition we have on hilchas tuma, that which we just said, that the vessels in the doorways, in the door would become tame. However, if one of the doorways is open, certainly if it's open before the person died and the others were closed, so we know that the corpse will be brought through that doorway and not through any of the other doorways. So the other doorways will be tohor, and that doorway and the vessel that's in that door will be tameh, only there. That's by a general introduction. So we now turn to the Gemara with a source that will feature in it Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel arguing, and the center point of this argument will be the issue of what we call Breira, but we have to see the case, and it follows later. Let's see the Gemara. Disnan hameis bebayis velo psochim harbe. If there is a corpse in a house, and the house has many entranceways, kulon tameim. All the entranceways are tameh. Again, the entranceways tuma is not a function of what we call oyel hameis per se, but rather there's a doubt. We don't know which doorway the corpse will eventually be brought through, and we therefore say that all of them are tamei. Niftach echad mehen, if one of the doorways is opened, so then it's clear that the body will be brought through that doorway. Hu tamei v'kulan tahorin. So only that doorway is tamei. The other entranceways are tahor. Chishev lehotzio be'echad mehen o b'chaloyin shiyesh bo arbu al arbo. If he had in mind to, or he decided on a particular doorway or a window measuring 4x4 handbreadths through which to take out the body, matzil al kol hapsochim kulam. His decision to use one of the doorways saves the other doorways from tuma. This works only if he reached a decision before the person died. In other words, if he decided which doorway while the person was still alive, so that doorway alone will become tuma at the point the person actually dies. Beis Hillel omrim af mishiyomus hameis. Even after the person died, you made a decision, you chose a particular doorway, even after the person died, retroactively, the other doorways will be tohor. In other words, we will say that the doorway you decided on now, after the individual died, was the doorway that was always the one that was designated for the body to be taken out, even from a point in time before he died. What we just said in describing Beis Hillel is Breira. That's retroactively, this doorway you decide on now, even after the person died, was the designated doorway all along. Beis Shammai, as you can see, doesn't agree with that. He says that the mental decision as to which closed doorway to eventually use will save the other doorways only if you reach that decision before the death. So as we said before, we had sources marked Aleph and Beis. One said, Ein Mishtatfin Bo'itzar, and the other one said, Mishtatfin. So the source that says, Ein Mishtatfin Bo'itzar, that you can't rely on Breira, would follow Beis Shammai's opinion. The source that says you can rely on the revius of vinegar that's left over at the end of your use of the vinegar, of the barrel, of drawing from the barrel, and saying that that which is left over at the end was the shituf. In other words, that was the shituf all along. That follows Breira, and that would be according to Beis Hillel. The diamonds continue. These are part of a series of the diamonds we started in our previous year of incidents involving the need for hot water or for the purposes of washing a baby after its circumcision. And we continue with these incidents, these stories. Ahu Yanuka Dishtat B'chamime. There was a child who needed to be circumcised on Shabbos, and of course, well, one is allowed to circumcise on Shabbos. However, the hot water that was going to be used for cleaning the child spilled out. And in the absence of the hot water, so that brings into question the well-being of the child after it's circumcised. So we would very likely just hold off and not do the circumcision. So there's a sense of urgency here. Can we get hot water to the child. Amar lehu Rava, nishayle li'ime itzricha. We'll ask his mother. Now, a woman right after childbirth is in a state of sakonas nefoshes. And a person who is sakonas nefoshes means the life-threatening situation. So, since she's just given birth and she is now in that state of a life-threatening state, and that's true for the several days that follow her giving birth, if she needs hot water, we will heat up water for her benefit. So if she needs hot water, so then we can heat up water for her benefit and use some of that water for the child. That's, as the Gemara says, Nishayli Lime will ask the mother, Itzricha, if she needs hot water, Nochim Le Nochri, Agev Ime. So a Nochri, a Gentile, could heat up the water for the child, but as a result of its mother needing the hot water. Omar Le Rav Misharshia Le Rava. Rav Misharshia says, in this incident, this was an actual incident that took place, and Rav Misharshia, who was on the scene, says to Rava, Ime Koachli Ochla Tamri. I see this child's mother's infant's mother, she's eating dates. Dates are a cool fruit. So if her body can tolerate cold things, she certainly doesn't need anything hot. So that even if she says, yes, I need, we can't rely on that. Omar Leh, Rava answers, Amor tunva bi'alma hu denokit law. She's in the fact that she's eating cold fruits, that's not a reflection on what she truly needs. Tunva is a state of shock, that she might be in a type of stupor, and she's eating, and she doesn't even know what she's eating. So, if she says, I want hot water, I want a hot drink, we will give it to her, and don't come to conclusions by the fact that she's eating these dates. We continue with another incident, and there's a diagram 22 that you might find beneficial. So let's first look at the diagram in the Pirush Chai on page 141. You see there are two courtyards that open, that are next to each other. They open into one another. There's on the left-hand side of that diagram, you see Bayis Shel Tinok. There's an infant that would be circumcised today on Shabbos is there. And the neighboring chotzer, you have an aleph where there is a hot water, and opening into the chotzer is a house. This is an aerial view, of course. There's a house that on the diagram is noted Bay Gavri, and that Bay Gavri, that we'll call that room, opens into the chotzer, and there are further inner rooms called Bay Noshi. These are rooms where women lived. The women folk of the house lived in those rooms. It's more modest, more private. And now we turn to the Gemara having this model in mind. Hahuyanuka dishtapuch chamime. There was an infant whose hot water had spilled out. Omar lehu rava nishayle. Let's correct ourselves. Omar lehu rava ponu li money mibe gavri lebe noshi. We have to point out, it's very important to note that no Eruv Chatzeros was made. They didn't join together these two courtyards. So in the absence of the joining together, ostensibly we can't carry from one courtyard into the other. So is there any solution of how to get the water from where it is to the courtyard where the child is located? So Rava says, Ponu li is to clear out money, my vessels, my wares, mi bay gavri, from the room that I use, I don't want to use the term the men's room, but that's what it is, it's the room of the men, and move the vessels, le bay noshi, to the rooms that the women use, and over the Shabbos, so I'll in effect move into the inner rooms. I'll be there. The Asiv Hosam, as we just said, I will go the Asiv and sit there in the Bay Noshi. The Ivtil Luhu Hochotzer, and I will then Mevatel to the other courtyard, I will mevatel my holding. Now, the purpose of moving the vessels from the outer room to the inner room is such that there won't be any fear now of my carrying vessels from the house into the chotzer inadvertently. Well, if I start moving them from the inner room, I'll remember that it's shab. I'll remember that it was mevatel my holding in the chotzer, because as a result of renouncing my ownership of the chotzer to the benefit of the others, that entails now a restriction of moving vessels from the house into the renounced chotzer. So, in order to make things safe, so to speak, that I won't mistakenly carry my vessels out into the chotzer once I've renounced it, I'll have everything moved to the bein noshi, the inner rooms, then renounce my holding in the chotzer, and the hot water is in that chotzer, and being that I was mevatelit to them, the family of the child can carry the water then from my chotzer to their chotzer. Looking at things from another angle, there is now a singular ownership, because I, Rova, have renounced my holding. I'm not in the picture anymore as far as the chotzer is concerned. And when you have a singular entity or a singular ownership, then you don't have the restriction of carrying from one courtyard to the other. Amale Ravina LaRova, V'Amar Shmuel Ein Bittel Rishus Mechotzer LaChotzer. Did Shmuel not rule that this concept of Bittel doesn't work from one courtyard to another? Needless to say, we've discussed Bittel Rishus already a number of times in our previous Dapim, but this is all taking place on Shabbos, so that one is not Mevatel. He doesn't renounce his holding from one chotzer to another chotzer on Shabbos. Omar lay. So Rava says, "Ano Krav Yochanan Svirli de Omar Yesh Bittel Mechotzer LeChotzer." This issue of renouncement from we'll call trans chotzer renouncement is a machlokes, and Rav Yochanan says you can be mevatel mechotzer LeChotzer. Question, and note that this is a long question. We should have noted earlier that this mice itself, this whole incident we have a long marking for it. You can see it lasts quite a few lines down Omid Beis, but we continue now. V'i lo savar lo mor kishmuel, if you don't hold like Shmuel, then nasiv mor beduchte, why don't you just stay where you are in the Bay Gavri, in that outer room with your vessels there, without any need to move inwards? We're continuing here at the top of Omid Beis. V'nivtil luhu lididhu, and be mevatel, renounce your holding in the chotzer enough time for them to remove the hot water from your chotzer. V'nahadru inhu v'nivtelu lei lemor, and then after they got the water to where they are, they will then renounce what they acquired back to you. D'ha'omar Rav mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin. Rav, ostensibly the opinion that you are subscribing to, you just said that you don't hold like Shmuel, implying that, well, you hold like Rav. And if you hold like Rav, then why not do Mevatlin v'chozer Mevatlin? This is against Shmuel, who we will see later says Ein Mevatlin v'chozer Mevatlin. But you just said that you don't hold like Shmuel. So it's true that Shmuel himself says that you don't do this two-way bittel, this two-way renouncement. But fine, you said you don't hold like him. So why not follow this approach and of Rav, which would be Mevatlin v'chozer Mevatlin, and then that would circumvent any need for you to remove your vessels to the inner chambers. Ano, so Rava answers, Ano b'ho kishmuel svirli, on this point of this two-way renouncement, I hold like Shmuel, diomar ein mevatlin v'chozen u'mevatlin. That you can't do that. You can't mevatel, party A is mevatel to B, and then B is mevatel back to A. So the Gemara asks a question that lasts a few lines. V'lav chad taimahu, is is this not all rooted in one source, one point of logic? My time o'ein mevatlin v'chozin mevatlin. Why would someone say, why would in this case Shmuel, what is the basis of Shmuel's opinion of ein mevatlin v'chozin mevatlin? Lav mishum dekevon debatle lirishu say, istalik le mehocho legamri. Is it not so that once someone renounces his ownership of his property, he is thereby considered removed? Istalik means removed. He's completely removed from here. V'havei le keben chotzer acheres. That would make him like, and this is all figuratively speaking, but it would make him like a member of another chotzer. V'ein bitul reshus mechotzer lechotzer. And as a result of having removed yourself, at the point of your, the so-called first stage of renouncement, you, A, renounced to B, at that point, then A becomes like a member of another chotzer, and as such, B cannot renounce back to A. And that's ein bitul reshus mechotzer lechotzer. Why can't B renounce back to A? Because once A removed himself, he makes himself like the member of another chotzer, and ein bitul reshus mechotzer lechotzer. So once you say, once you, Rava, say that the reason I have to move all my vessels to the inner rooms is because ein mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin, but you're basically then saying that ein bitul reshus mechotzer lechotzer, and therefore your initial renouncement couldn't have worked either. So reading this line again, we said v'havi le keben chotzer cheres v'ein bitul reshus mechotzer lechotzer. More nami lo niftil, and therefore you shouldn't be able to have been mevatel, to have renounced in the first place either. So Rava answers, no, you got it wrong. As far as the tam is concerned of ein mevatlin v'chozen mevatlin, he says hosam hainu taimo. This is the reason we say ein mevatlin v'chozen mevatlin is ki hechidul leve milso de rabbonin kechuka uveitlula. So as not to cast the rulings of the rabbonin in a foolish light. That would mean that this would make it appear that the rules of the Rabbonan concerning Eruv Chatzeros is a joke. In other words, everything you're doing for your own convenience and making light of rabbinic ruling. In other words, once someone is mevatel his reshus, so we didn't make an eruv, which was already, that's like you're already starting off with a problem. You didn't make an eruv, so we have a solution for that, a partial solution called bitul reshus. But if you say that you can mevatel you can renounce your reshus and then get it back a moment later, so it makes light of the whole institution of eruv chatzeros and the lack thereof. Before going on in the Gemara, we notice the Noseda topic heading. New topic we have here: mevatlin v'chozin mevatlin. The issue that we mentioned before, when I said new topic, it really means it's a new part, new section of discussion. We are in fact referring to that which we mentioned before about this two-way renouncement. This is a machlokas Rav and Shmuel, as we just saw, but here the Gemara focuses on it. Before, we simply mentioned it in passing. Gufa, Rav Omar mevatlin v'chozin mevatlin. Gufa is a term meaning, this is a quote from that which we saw before, and here we focus on it. Rav says that the two-way renouncement can work. Ushmuel Omar ein mevatlin v'chozin mevatlin. It doesn't work. Leimo Rav Ushmuel beplukto de rabbonin v'rebi Eliezer komifligi. Now, before we go on in this Gemara, we have a prominent structure and a structural note that accompanies this. Under our Mivneh heading, a diamond is featured, you can see on the side, where we've written Nisyonos Lahamid Machloikis Rav Ushmuel Kemachloikis Tanoim. Down this omid, till the lower part of the narrow lines, you can see we have a numbering system along the side of the Gemara, Roman numerals 1, 2, and 3. These are three attempts to parallel the Machloikis between Rav and Shmuel, who are Amoroyim for our purposes, and parallel them to an earlier Machloikis Tanoim. So here is our first attempt. Can we say that Rav and Shmuel are arguing in the same, or paralleling the argument between Rabbon and Rav Lezer, as we will demonstrate? The Rav, the Omar Karabonon, Ushmuel, the Omar Karabelozer. Now, this to understand this Gemara, one has to either have a very well-developed memory, or, in the absence of that, we can take advantage of Rashi, who ties everything together. Because the Gemara doesn't spell out it doesn't spell out the Rabbanan nor Rebbe Elezer regarding what they said, whatever they said. So we look in Rashi. Rav di Omar Karabonan, di Amri b'masnisin, the Rabbanan say in the Mishnah, but really means the continuation of our Mishnah, which appears on Samach Tes Omid Beis, that when one renounces his Rishus, when in the absence of an heir, so we spoke about Bittul, one is Mevatel is Rishus, someone lives in a house that opens into a Chotzer, and he has to, and in order for some carrying to be able to continue to take place, so he who didn't contribute to the heir would renounce his holding. So Rashi says, the Amrina b'Masisin Beiso Osir Lahachnis Lahotzi Lo V'lohem, the person who renounced his holding, so his house is now forbidden to have items moved in and out of it to the chotzer. Neither the owner nor the other people can carry in and out of his house. The Amri, we say as follows, Hamavato Rishus Chatzero, when someone renounces his holding in a courtyard, Lo Bitel Rishus Beso, he does not renounce his holding of his own house. Alma Lo Mistalik Le Legamri, therefore he is not completely removed from me, he's still in the picture, he's in his house. Again, when we say removed from the picture, we mean figuratively or halachically, legally speaking. So, being that lo bitel rishus beiso, he's still here. V'lo havilei keben chotzer acheres, and he's therefore not considered like a member of another chotzer. Ushmuel k'Rabbi Eliezer d'omar perak oisin pasin. This is the Gemara that I was referring to before when I spoke about a memory. This goes back to Dav Chov Vov. In the case of someone having renounced his dwelling, beiso mutur lachnus lohotzi lohem. His house, the house of this person who didn't contribute, in fact, is allowed to have items carried in and out for the other, vis-a-vis the other members of the courtyard. To Rishus Beso Nami Bita, when someone renounces his Rishus, he renounces his holding, he's renouncing not only his holding in the courtyard, but he's renouncing his house as well. Now, in describing him as that, so he then becomes like a ben chotzer acheres. So let's now go back to the Gemara, where we said, let us say that Rav, who said mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin, holds like the Rabbonan. What do we mean by that? Well, the Rabbonan said the fellow is not really out of the picture, so he's not considered a ben chotzer acheres. And being that he's not considered the member of an outside courtyard, so you can do, as Rav said, Mevatlin v'chozofat, you can have the two-way bittel. He's not considered an outsider. Shmuel, who says that when one is Mevatel's Rishus, he's Mevatel his house also, so he becomes like a ben chotzer achas, he becomes like an outsider, and as a result of that, so you can't, once the bittul takes place in one direction, there's no way to mevatel it back because he's considered like an outsider, and you can't mevatel from chotzer lechotzer. We just now tried to parallel these two opinions. We tried to parallel Rav and Shmuel to the Machloikis Rabbonin and Rebbe Eliezer. The Gemara now, you can see, rejects this, and we have a long marking to show a dechia, a rejection, a long rejection. Omar loch Rav. Rav will say, Ano di Amri afilu le Rebbe Eliezer. I said what I did about Mevatlin because Mevatlin, even according to Rebbe Eliezer. Ad kan lo kom Rebbe Eliezer hosam. Up till now, Reb Elezer said what he did. He said, "Hamavatel reshus chatzer reshus beis obitel," that when one is mavatel his holding, he renounces his holding in the chatzer. His house is renounced as well. Mishum de bebayis belo chatzer lo dairis, because people don't dwell in houses without chatzeros, without courtyards. Avol inyanis deluki mi omar, but as far as the idea of being removed to make him like a ben chotzer acheres, that you shouldn't be able to have the second return bittel take place, he never said that. His point was more of a technical nature, that when you mevatel, you're holding in the chotzer, automatically your house goes along with it, because people wouldn't live in a house without a courtyard. Ushmuel Omar ano di amri afilu karabonan. Shmuel, who spoke about Ein Mevatlin, V'chozen Vatlin, says his opinion, even according to the Rabbonan, that described the person as still being there. He maintains his holding of the house. Ad kan lo kami Rabbonan hosam. Up till now, the Rabbonan said what they did, that a person is not Mevatil, is holding in his house. Elamai de botil botil, de lo botil lo botil. That which a person renounces, he renounced his holding in the courtyard. So what he said is what is. He didn't say anything about renouncing his holding in the house, and therefore the house is not renounced. Avol, mai de botil miho is stalik ligamri. But regarding that which he was mevatel, namely his holding in the chotzer, he is completely removed from that. And as such, he becomes like a ben chotzer acheres. He becomes like the member of another chotzer. And as a result of that, you can't have the second stage or the rebounding bittel. The return bittel cannot take place because he becomes like a ben chotzer acheres, becomes like an outsider. As we continue in the Gemara, we see we have a long point. This is a again, you'll see an attempt to set up the machlokes, Rav and Shmuel, like a machlokes tanoim. And you can see we have a Roman numeral number 2. Following this attempt, you can see again, with our markings, you can see a dechia. There is a rejection of this attempt. So, we continue. Omar Rav Acho Bar Chono, Omar Rav Sheshes, Ketanoi. The Machlokas Rav and Shmuel would appear to parallel the following Machlokas Tanoim. Mi Shenosan Rishuso V'Hotzi. Rashi explains, Mi Shenosan Rishuso Livnei Chotzer Mimnei Sheshochach V'Loir. If someone had been Mevatel, he'd renounced his Rishus to the other members of the courtyard because he didn't contribute to the Eruv. U'acha Shebitel Hotzi Mibes of the Chotzer. And after he did the renouncement, he turned around and did what he shouldn't have done. He carried stuff from his house to the chotzer, which he's not allowed to do. Well, Oser al-Bnei Chotzer, Ravi al-Bnei Chotzer, the Hoder Shakli, we should say, he thereby imposes a prohibition on the rest of the chotzer members, because he, in effect, by using the chotzer this way, by carrying from his house, Shakli, the Rishu say, means he took back his possession, his portion of the courtyard. And you're back to square one, where you have a member of a courtyard who didn't contribute to the Eruv, and that imposes a restriction on everyone else. So that's the case of Misha Nosan Rishuso Vahotzi. Bein B'Shogeg Bein B'Mezid Oser Divrei Rabbi Meir. Whether he forgot himself, even if he forgot himself and carried out, or he did so knowingly, the Chiddush is, even if he did so unwittingly, he imposes a restriction on everybody. Now, let's continue first in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'mezid Oser, B'shogeg Ein Oser. Only if he did so willingly, sort of like a heretic or a rebel, if you will, then and only then does he impose a prohibition, a restriction on the rest of them. But if he forgot himself, so we don't impose a restriction on the rest of the chotzer members to carry in and out of the houses that they're allowed to. My lav behol komifligi. Is it not so that the root or the basis of this machlokus is the following? Demor sovar mevatlin v'choizunu mevatlin. Rabbi Meir will assume that position. We'll need to look at Rashi in order to understand this. And we just continue a moment in the Gemara. More sovereign, Rabbi Yehuda would say, Ein mevatlin v'choizir mevatlin. Now, to tie everything together, we look at the Rashi where you see the star, Rabbi Meir, the Omar, Afilu b'shogeg hodra le'rishu, say that even if a person unwittingly carried something into the chotzer, he in effect gets back his holding, and that's what imposes the restriction. The fact that you now have someone who had not contributed to the Eruv regains his possession in that his portion of the chotzer. And he's there. Savar lo misuluku. Rabeir apparently is of the opinion that he is not considered removed when he was mevatel initially. Vegabi bitol nami choizun umevatlin v'hodrolei. Since he's not considered removed, so he is eligible to receive a... So in the event that we wanted to do a second stage bitol, a return bitol, that could take place because a person is not considered removed. So that would appear to be the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir would hold like Rav, that said mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin, and Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, who said that if a person forgot himself and simply carried out b'shogeg, it doesn't undo the bittul. And the reason for that is because he is not there anymore. He totally removed himself with the initial bittul. And as a result of that, he becomes like an outsider. As far as the issue of mazid is concerned, let's leave that aside for right now. But Rabbi Yehuda would appear to be reflect the opinion of Shmuel, of Ein Mevatlin V'Chozer Mevatlin, as we described, because of his total removal. Omar Rav Acha, and here we start our rejection of the parallel. Omar Rav Acha bar Tachlifa Mishmei de Rava Loi. Rav Acha says in the name of Rava, not to confuse this Rav Acha with the one who opened this, that was Rav Acha bar Chona. He wanted to make the parallel. Rav Acha bar Tachlifa is a different gentleman. He says in the name of Rava, no. What you try to explain now is not so. Rather, the Kulei Alma, all of the Tanoim here, will tell you Ein Mevatlin V'Choizrin U'Mevatlin. And that's a function of a person being completely removed. And as a result, even B'Shogeg, which Rabbi Meir spoke about, he said B'Shogeg, the Bittul can become undone. Even if he carried out b'shogeg, the bittul gets undone. That needs to be explained, because once you tell me everyone holds ein mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin, and technically speaking, shogeg should not represent an undoing of the bittul. V'hacha b'konsu shogeg otu mezid komifligi. Now, another point that we have to add here is that everyone happens to agree that if someone, after renouncing, knowingly violates the rules of Shabbos and knowingly carries into the chotzer, that will undo the bittul. But that's a form of a, we'll call it the form of a stringency that we impose because he violated knowingly the rules. The issue here is, how do we look at someone who unwittingly carried out? So, we continue. Mor sovar konsu shogeg otu mezid. Rabbi Meir says that we impose a limitation, a restriction, a type of fine on someone who does something unwittingly, simply in anticipation of the case that someone would carry out wittingly. And as we said, when someone, after having been mevato, carries out knowingly, everyone agrees he undoes the bittul and reimposes the restriction. Humor Sava Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo konsu shogeg otu mezid. That in the case of someone having carried out unwittingly, we don't impose a restriction, we don't fine him and them in anticipation of the mezid case. Before we go further, let us take a look at the Rashi. Loi, Dekule Almo Ein Choizin Umevatlin, this stalikle, everyone will tell you that means Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda will agree that once Bittul takes place, the person is considered removed and like an outsider. Ubedinhu debeshogeg lo hodrole, and technically speaking, that which Rabbi Meir said that beshogeg it undoes it, it shouldn't be that way. Because once you're out, and then you become, like we said, a ben chotzer acheres, and you can't have the return bittul. Elo Rabbi Meir konis shogeg otu mezid. Rabbi Meir, though, imposes a fine on the case of shogeg in anticipation of the mezid carrier, the knowing, deliberate carrier. Ube mezid kulu modu, and here is the main point. Everyone, in the case of mezid, everyone agrees, the afagav distalikle, that even though he has removed himself, kevan de hoder, since he goes ahead and again carries out into his chotzer, into the chotzer, daha lo zavne, by carrying out, you're showing us that you never gave it over. Ukigon shelo hichziku b'nei movui b'movui lachar bittul kodem chazora, and this is true that b'meizid oser, provided that he, the person who carried out into the chutzner after his renouncement, did so before the other members of the chutzner had carried from their houses into the chutzner, showing their ownership of it. So before they demonstrate their ownership, he carries out into the chutzner, showing us that he never really had renounced his ownership. The renouncement can become concretized only if they make the move first, as Rashi says. They make the move first means they carry out into the chotzer that he unto them he had renounced. Let's continue in the Gemara. Rav Ashi Omar, Rav Ushmuel, Beplukta de Rav Lezer v'Rabbonon Komifligi. What Rav Ashi does is he says, like we tried to say in Roman numeral number one, he says that remains. In other words, he disregards the dechia that we saw, and says that the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel will parallel the machlokes Rabbonon and Rabbi Lezer. And again, the Rabbonon are the opinion that said, that say in the Mishnah Daf Samach Tesam Beis, that when one is mevatel, he's mevatel his holding in the chotzer, but not his holding in the house, indicating that he has not removed himself from there. And Rabbi Lezer says, when one removes himself from the chotzer, he removes himself from the house, making himself like a total outsider, and hence, that would be the parallel to Shmuel of Ein Mevatlin V'chozen U'Mevatlin. We continue in the Gemara with a quote from the Mishnah. Omar Rabban Gamliel, Maisa Bitzduki Echot Shahoyador Imonu. When you look at the Mishnah, Rabban Gamliel appears after the beginning of the Mishnah, back on Samach Aleph, and there the Mishnah had opened with a different topic. It had opened with someone who dwells with an akum, with an idol worshiper, or someone who doesn't concede to Eruvin. No mention was made in the Reisha of the Mishnah of a Tzeduki. Tzeduki being a group of people that deny the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral tradition, and subscribe only to the written tradition. But there wasn't an allusion to the Tzeduki at the beginning of the Mishnah. And yet Rabbi Gamliel shares an incident involving a tzeduki. Usually that which is mentioned later in the Mishnah, especially when you share an incident, it would be a reflection of something said earlier. So the Gemara asks, tzeduki man dekar shmei. The tzeduki that Rabbi Gamliel mentioned, who had mentioned anything about him before? Did the Tanakhama say anything about the need to rent from a tzeduki, that Rabban Gamliel should then chime in and say, well, with regard to the tzeduki, he can be mevatel? And we should just mention before we go further that, and we have a little starred note, that a Gentile or an idol worshiper, we have by the starred note, Eino Mevatel Rishuso, Ela Sochrim Imenu Rishuso. The method of dealing with a Goy who is in your, who is a member of the Chotzer, so he is not Mevatel, but rather you need to rent from him his possession, his ownership. A Yisrael Shelo Irev Mevatel Es Rishuso, a Jew who was not Ma'arev, so for him the Bittul Rishus, the renouncement method, does work. So we're asking right now, after having spoken about people concerning whom you would have to rent, why does Rabbi Gamliel make any mention of a tzeduki? So that's the Gemara's question. And the Gemara answers, Chisuri Mechaser V'Hochi Kotoni. The Mishnah was deliberately left abbreviated, but the full meaning of the Mishnah is as follows. Tzeduki Hare Hu Kenochri. You have here the Tanakama parallels a tzeduki to a nochri, and that in effect means he cannot be mevatel, he cannot renounce without a rental from him, renting his property. And Rabban Gamliel Omer tzeduki eino kenochri. Gamliel says no, the tzeduki is not classified as a Gentile. The Omar Rabban Gamliel Maisa Tzeduki Echot Shoya Dor Imanu B'Movli Yerushalayim. There was an incident with a Tzeduki who had lived together with us in the same alleyway, and he was Mevatel. This Tzeduki was renounced his holding to us. The Omar Lonu Abba, and father told us Maharu Votziu Es Hakelim LaMovui. That means to quickly take out your vessels and bring them into the alleyway. Basically means take possession of the alleyway, and at that point he won't be able to reverse, to renege on his bittul, and do that ad shelo yotzi v'yasar lechem, do that before he carries something out into the alleyway, thereby imposing a restriction. V'hot tanyo. Now this is a case of a Tanaic source being brought in to support that which we just said. Now, what we just did, we have a frame around what we just read, but that's not a real Tanaic source, but it's the Gemara's reconstruction of the Tanaic source. And here the Gemara now brings an actual Tanaic source to support our reconstruction. And in this Tanaic source, we will be demonstrating that the Rabbonon, the Tanakama, argue with Rabban Gamliel regarding the issue of the Tzeduki. V'hotanya. Hadorim Nochri, Tzeduki Ubaitusi. These are different classifications of people. You have Gentiles, you have Tzeduki, and the Baitusi. Baitusi, another class of people who were Jewish who left the fold, we'll say. Hare Elu Oisrin Olov. They impose their presence in a chotzer, in a mavui, poses a restriction. Now there's a section that's in parentheses here that it usually indicates it's not to be read, it's not part of the girsa, but it would make things easier if we do read the parentheses section where it highlights the machlokes. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Tzeduki Baitusi Einon Oisrin. You can see if you accept that girsa that Rabbi Gamliel argues regarding the Tzeduki. There was the incident with a tzeduki living in the same alleyway with Rav Gamliel. The Omar Lohem Rav Gamliel Livonov, and Rav Gamliel told his children, "Bonai maharuva otziu mashatem otziim, v'chnisu mashatem machnisim." Quickly, take into the movi that which you need to bring to the movi, and take from the movi into your houses that which you need to do, or into your courtyards, into your houses. Ad sheloy yoytzi hatoyev hazeh v'yesar lechem. Do so before this abomination, namely referring to the tzeduki, carries his vessels to the mavui and thereby imposes a restriction. So take the preemptive step of your carrying before he does. Share Bitel Rishuso Lochem Divrei Rabbi Meir. As you can do it now, if you quickly do it, carry your things out before he does, do it so, because he was Mevatel's Rishus, and by carrying out before he does, you thereby are taking possession of it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Beloshen Acheres, Rabbi Yehuda presents this story, the incident with Rabbi Gamliel, with a different version. Maru v'asu tzorcheichem b'movui, and the ikur is what Rashi adds here, is take care of your carrying needs in and out of your houses before Shabbos sets in. Ad shelo techshach, before Shabbos sets in, v'yeaser aleichem. And the because once Shabbos sets in and the tzeduki carries from his house, being that the tzeduki, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is like a nochri, the bittul never really takes place. It doesn't take effect, because when you're dealing with a nochri, unless you rent from him, he remains a source of restriction, of a problematic issue. Therefore, take care of everything that you need to before Shabbos sets in. Omar Mar. There's a quote from that which Rabbi Meir said, "Hotziu mashetem hotziu v'chnisu mashetem machnisim ad shelo yotzi atoy vazeh v'yaser aleichem." L'meimra. Is this to suggest the chi mafki inhu v'hodar mapik ihu lo osar, that if they carry out into the movui and then if they carry out what they need to first and then he were to carry out things, he would not impose any restriction? V'ha tanan, we continue at the top of Samach Tes Omer Aleph. Has it not been taught, mi shenosan reshuso v'hotzi bein b'shogeg bein memezid oser divrei Rebbe Meir? And here we see that someone who carries out after someone was mevatel their reshus, and that person who had renounced his holding subsequently carries things out, he does impose a restriction. Well, but you just got finished saying that if you you, the recipients of the renouncement, carry out, you preempt the other one from taking possession, from taking, also repossessing what he had renounced. Here you see someone who had renounced does repossess. So approach number one, Omar Rav Yosef Emo Eino Oser. Rav Yosef says that the text of what we just read is inaccurate, and it should rather read Eino Oser, because once the beneficiaries of the renouncement carry their items out, the other party cannot renege on it, by that his subsequent carrying out will have no effect. Abaye, a second approach, Omar Lo Kashya, Kan Shirziku Bnei Movui Bamovui, Kan Shelo Yirziku Bnei Movui Bamovui. There is no contradiction whatsoever. This source that says Oser, that's in the event that the other members of the Movui had not taken possession. They hadn't carried out first. However, that which we said before, that by carrying out first, you preempt the one who had renounced from reneging, that is because they in fact carried out first. They were Hichziku b'nei Movui b'movui. V'hotanya, and here we have support for that. Again, v'hotanya is a support as opposed to the general use of the word. V'hotanya usually introduces a question. Here it is benichusa, it is support. So it says in this source, ad shelo nosan reshuso hotzi. This is referring to a Yisrael, a Jew, who had not contributed to an Eruv. So if he had not been mevatel his reshus, so ad shelo nosan reshuso, so prior to bittul, hotzi, he carries things out into a chotzer, bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid, yochol levatel, divrei Rebbe Meir. This is a person who is what we would call a mumar l'chalal Shabbos. He's someone who, as we said, ad shelo nosan reshus, he's a person who had not been mevatel, and he nevertheless carries things out into a chotzer, even knowingly, even mazed, he could be mevatel. So the Chiddush here is, even though he is a mumar, he is a renegade, a rebel with regard to halacha, we still will accept his bittul. Reb Yehuda Omer, b'shogeg yochol levatel. If he had carried out inadvertently, even though he wasn't allowed to, he's a person that will accept a bittul from. B'mezid eino yochol levatel. However, if he knowingly violates the rules of Shabbos, making him a mumar l'chala Shabbos, he cannot be mevatel. The only solution for someone like that, according to Reb Yehuda, would be you'd have to rent his possession or his ownership in the chotzer. You have to rent from him. Mi shenosan reshuso v'hotzi, someone who had done bittul and subsequently carried things out. Bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid oser divrei Rabbi Meir. He imposes a restriction. In other words, even though he was mevatel, his subsequent carrying out imposes a restriction. Even if he carried out b'shogeg, Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'mezid oser b'shogeg eino oser. Only if he did so knowingly, but if he did so unwittingly, he doesn't impose a restriction. Now here, this Rashi points out is Rabbi Meir speaking. This Bamed Vorm is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, who we had just seen, made no distinction. Bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid, we said that the subsequent carrying out undoes the bittul. So Bamed Vomurim b'shelo hichziku b'nei movui b'movui. That is true that the bittul can be undone only if the other members, the beneficiaries of the renouncement, had not taken possession. Aval hirziku b'nei mavui b'mavui, if the other members had taken possession before this individual, the renouncer, had subsequently carried out, then we say bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid oser. If the renouncer at this point, after the others had taken possession, if he carries out, even if he does so b'shogeg or b'mezid, he does not impose any restriction. So what we've dashed underlined in this source are the expressions b'shelo hichziku versus hichziku, a distinction between these two stages in time. This supports the number two approach of Abaye that we saw three and four lines from the top, who made this distinction. Before we sign off, let's just remind everybody that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.